I had made a comment about which side had more, but good to have all of you. Let's begin with a prayer, and Neil was supposed to today, but I'll do it instead. And I'm sure you noticed I got my bow tie out. I like bow ties a little better than neckties, but that's side. Again, Father, thanks so much for the privilege of prayer. Thanks for the various men that were willing to lead a prayer at the beginning of class. And Father, we just pray at this time that even today, our study will draw us closer to you. Amen. And that we'll go forth to really live for Jesus as the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Again, thank you for Jesus and all that he can mean to us every day of our lives. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Let's read the short chapter of 2 Corinthians chapter 13. I grew up on the King James, not the one of 1611, but then I went to Lipscomb, and at that time our brotherhood was using the American Standard of 1901. For some reason, I never, as one branch of our brotherhood, they liked the new American Standard. It never caught my attention, but it was. Then I'm noticing recently a lot in the brotherhood are using the English Standard Version. And I will have to admit that my wife's sister gave me a study Bible for the ESV. I'll just make the comment, for the main text, everything's okay, but for the footnotes, for me, they could be a little bigger where I am now. So, but this is the outline in the New King James. So about 90, I shifted to the New King James. And it retained a lot what I liked about the King James. I wish they had made some more changes, but they did. But generally, the change was in favor of the American Standard. So, a lot in our brotherhood, they could accept the New King James. So, here's the outline for our last chapter of 2 Corinthians. Coming with authority. Paul's going to come as an apostle with authority, verses 1 through 6. Paul prefers gentleness. Remember that how they responded would determine whether they said he was gentle or sharp, whether he was weak or bold. So he preferred, yes, I could use my authority. I'd prefer not to. So I find that in verses 7 through 10. Now, as I work with the last chapter, these first 10 verses remind me a lot of chapters 10, 11, 12, and then now we're in the last chapter 13. So that's a section of thought. So I'm going to put my emphasis on the how does he close the letter, which will be verses 11 through 14. His greetings, his benediction. So, but that's how we're going to read the chapter. I'm coming with authority. What I say, heaven's going to say. Is that right? That what Paul said, heaven, God, the Son, the Spirit would say, amen. So, this will be the third time I am coming to you. Now, I'm going to leave it to your discretion. How many visits did he make? I'm going to take at face value what he says here. This third time, I'm going to come in person. In my reading, I found about a year of time elapsed between 1st and 2nd Corinthians. And the current thought in scholarly circles is the second visit was between 1st and 2nd Corinthians. I'll let you check that out, whether you agree or not. But now remember, he's coming with authority. By the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word shall be established. That was even Old Testament, wasn't it? Just one witness is not enough. Decide who's right and who's wrong. Had to be at least two witnesses, better more than two. So Paul is saying, hey, we're going to follow one witness. It's not going to be enough. There will have to be at least two or three. We're going to do this right. I have told you before and foretell as if I were present the second time. Now, scholars like to talk about the second visit, you know, a severe visit, a painful visit. I'll leave that to your discretion. And now being absent, I write. Now remember, we already studied. Oh boy, when he writes, he can be bold. But when he comes, he's rather weak, isn't he? To those who have sinned before and to all the rest, that if I come again, how's it going to be? I will not spare. And he wouldn't if he had to, would he? So, since you seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, that's verse 3, who is not weak toward you, but mighty in you. For though he was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by the power of God. Now, if you just took the crucifixion, your reaction might be, well, I guess Satan won. But God had the power to raise him from the dead, didn't he? Which he did. So, yet he lives by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, and we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Now, I'm going to assume we've already studied sometimes Paul could really be down. But he always remembered heaven, didn't he? The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the spiritual, the gospel. And isn't that what we need to do? Verse 5. Now, I've already emphasized, I like this verse for the whole letter. Examine yourself. All right, those of you in Corinth that claim to follow Jesus, it's time for you to examine yourself. Test yourselves. Oh, some have examined me and tested me, but isn't it time for you to look to yourself? Do you not know yourselves? That Jesus Christ is in you? Now, we've already studied, haven't we, that Paul affirmed Christ is in me. I'm not a reprobate or disqualified. What about you? So, I like the word examine, test, and then Christ. Unless indeed you are, now this is the New King James, disqualified. Maybe you're more familiar with being a reprobate. Someone that failed the test. Oh, I've graduated from high school. I've graduated from college. Tests are behind. Really? Does this verse say tests are behind? I've shared with Brian. Wonder why. I'm more concerned about my relationship with God. What does heaven think about me? Am I ready? Am I prepared? Now, I've shared with you my personal opinion to be, I would like to be alive when Christ returns. Doesn't look like that's going to happen. Either way, though, whether there's a funeral or Christ come, it's going to be a big change, isn't it? One moment we're here, next not, or think of the changes when, oh, Christ is returning. Well, the book had promised that all along. Verse 6. But I trust that you will know that we are not disqualified. I'm not a reprobate. I'm not disqualified. What about you? Now, if we come to verse 7 through 10, I was impressed with prayer. Now I pray to God that you do no what? Evil. Well, if you're not going to do evil, you'll be doing good then, won't you? Not that we should appear approved, but that you should do what is honorable or right, though we may seem disqualified or reprobate. Are you going to say no to evil? Yes to good? Yes to Christ? Are you going to be, in his eyes, disqualified or reprobate? I like verse 8. For we can do nothing against the truth. Can you picture Paul doing anything against the truth? But for the truth. For we are glad when we are weak and you are strong. And this also we pray, that you may be made complete. Now that's the New King James. My understanding is you put all the English translations together, Paul is saying, I want you to be mature. I want you to be a grown-up Christian. I want you to be a strong adult Christian, ready or prepared for the Lord's return. That's what I want for you. And haven't we already studied? Paul came to Corinth with the gospel, didn't he? Good news. You've had enough bad news in Corinth. Now I have some good news for you. But he was their spiritual father. And that's how I would understand the last part of verse 14. How does if you're thinking about the father-child relationship, where's the emphasis? On the father or the children? So where would the emphasis be? On Paul as their father? And they're his children. That's my understanding of complete. Not sinless, not flawless, Christ, the only one that's perfect, isn't he? We're working toward that end, but in thought, word, and deed, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, I'm going to keep mine down. I still have some areas I need to work on. And probably will to the last day, whether Christ comes or my wife has to make the funeral arrangement. But think about it. What does it mean for you to be complete? Or, as the Bible would say, you're aiming for perfection. What does that really mean? Therefore, I write these things being absent, lest being present, I should use, now this is the New King James, sharpness, or some translations would be harshness. But now, you're going to make the decision whether I'm going to be gentle and strong and weak, as some would say, or whether I'm going to be strong and sharp and harsh. You decide. I'm not going to spare any of you. If you're out of Christ, you're sinning, you're not living as he wants you to, hey, I'm going to say something about it and do something. Now, we're ready for verses 11 through 14. Now, we've already studied the last part of verse 10. According to the authority which the Lord has given me. Those in Corinth that didn't like him, they hadn't given him authority, but the Lord had. Heaven had. So, my purpose is I want to help you. I want to benefit you. But I can tear you down if that's what you think and want. I have authority, so it's going to be for help you, or is it going to be to hurt you, as some would say. Finally, brethren, farewell. I find it interesting, some of the writers would say, he was saying, be happy. When we say farewell, do we mean be happy? Which did Paul want for them in Corinth? He wanted them to be happy. So, be of good comfort. Now, wasn't that one of the key words back in chapter 1, very beginning of the letter? There it is again. Be of one mind. Now, I know how the middle and the last of 1 Corinthians reads, but you might want to read the first 9 verses before verse 10. And what Paul wrote to them as an apostle with authority. Now, I'm for unity. I'm against division. It still bothers me that when Paul and Barnabas couldn't agree over John Mark, and so they had went their separate ways. And I also find it interesting, I don't picture Paul as jumping down up and down with the, oh, I got to rebuke Peter today. And I find it interesting, Paul was right and Peter was wrong. But even Barnabas sided with Peter, the one who, you remember in Jerusalem, had introduced Paul to the apostles. Hey, he's a real disciple. Accept him. Welcome him. When he persecuted the church, that's his past. What about the present and future? But I find it interesting. Barnabas said, well, Paul, he's a little hard on Paul, on Peter. Anyway, think about that. Be of one mind. Isn't that what 1 Corinthians 1:10 says? Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Now, we hear a lot about today, the Old Testament, the God of anger and wrath. New Testament, oh, the God of mercy and love. Well, there was mercy and love in the Old Testament too, the law of Moses, or at least I found it. Your heart was to be involved, even as a patriarch or a Jew. And certainly ours is today. So give some thought to that. Are we using today what the Bible really says? So, and particularly think about that in our upcoming election. I'm not going to say any more about that. I could probably talk and I'd still be going strong at 10:15. But okay. Greet one another with a holy kiss. I'll just say this. Greet one another with a holy handshake. For them, there's a custom you'd kiss. Wasn't that the sign in the garden for Judas? He was going to kiss Jesus, and he did. Was it a holy kiss? or an unholy kiss. Paul said, greet one another with a holy kiss. Good morning, brother. I hate you. I can't stand you. Would that be holy? All the saints greet you. Hey, every one of us this morning, my understanding, we're a saint. Not just some that were real good and did some things. You're a saint. You're a holy one. You're a holy believer. Now, again, I don't know how many funerals I would use the next first. Because when you get to the cemetery, it's rather final, isn't it? Oh, now I agree. You're just burying the temporary body. I still remember what Patrick asked, and I appreciate you mentioning that, brother. Are you a body with maybe a spirit? Or are you a spirit that is permanent in a body that's temporary? Could be a lot of difference. So, I want to be a spirit that's permanent in this temporary body. But if we're not careful, we put maybe more attention on the body than we do. So, I like it. Think of the words in this verse. Grace, love. If you want another fancy word for communion, would be fellowship. So, but think of that. Isn't that what we're saying at the cemetery? The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the favor, the blessing of Christ, and the love of God. Now, he's already said, the God of love. So, the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit, holy guest, helper, comforter, be with you all. Certainly that's a place to say amen, wasn't it? Amen. Let it be. So, you've met with the family. You've had the main service either in the building or the funeral home, and now you're at the cemetery. That's going to be the end, isn't it? And I can still look way back and remember when they would shovel every spade of dirt and then you'd leave the cemetery. Now, of course, we have the machinery and the men come in, and if you want to go back and see it, well, they've covered everything up, haven't they? So, but that's what I remember. And personally, I like to remember something about the person. Now, granted, a lot in the audience will remember more, but I like to be very personal. And when I just had the gravesite, I had never met the person. I didn't remember anything about them other than they left Newark, Arkansas, for Phoenix, Arizona. But they wanted to be buried back in Newark. Incidentally, in New Jersey, that would be Newark. But in Arkansas, you better say Newark. And they give you enough time to get used to it, but you better say it right. And, okay. I still remember when we were in Georgia. You know, in Texas, it's Houston, Texas. Warren Robins was in Houston. That was the county in Georgia. Spell the same. Not pronounce the same. So, okay. I'm going to change today. Thanks for coming. Thanks for your presence. I hope you had your plans for the summer materialized and they meant a lot to them. So I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. I'm going to assume he'd be in the minority. How many of us were here every time in June, July, and August? Now, you notice I had my hand up. But I'm not going to ask for yours. But whenever you were in town and able to come, thanks. For a lot of the men, thanks for leading the prayer. Now remember, that's what I still, one of the things I remember about Bill Bennett, he was a man of prayer. And when he was down and could attend and led a prayer, now I'm not putting any of the other men down, but I really listened. Because I knew he was going to have something to say. So that's one thing I remember about him. So to the men that led a prayer, thanks. For the women that said, amen, thanks. For the privilege to be with you a whole quarter, June, July, and August. Now, that'd be the first to say, hey, where did those 3 months go? Went by rather fast, didn't it? Okay. I finally decided, and yes, I'll stop at 10:15. Let me share with you some of the things I tried to emphasize. And you can compare with your list with mine, and I'll claim two things. Number one, I'm not the authority. I'm not claiming that these thoughts will be exhaustive. If yours is different, great. Remember my thought was, is there something about God in each chapter? Now, sometimes there's more than one thing, right? Like, God of peace, God of love, in our chapter today. Sometimes, I'll confess, I would have to read the chapter several times before I finally come up with what was emphasized by Paul concerning God the Father. And then, you remember, I thought, if there's something in each chapter I need to really follow. So, and my wife pointed out, and I'll apologize for it. Some weeks I emphasized about God and Christian living, and then other weeks I didn't. So I'll apologize for that. So, let me give the key word in my thinking for each chapter. Number one, oh boy, that's way back in June, isn't it? Comfort. Chapter two, forgive. Chapter three, covenant. Old Testament or Old Covenant. New Testament. New Covenant. Chapter four, really that could be for the first seven chapters, ministry, the ministry of Paul in Corinth and elsewhere. Chapter five, reconcile. Aren't we to be reconciled to God? Chapter six, and we had quite a discussion, if I remember right, that day. Thanks for your comments. But separate, I'm to be different. I'm to be holy. Chapter 7, repentance. Now, I still believe and preach, hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized, and then live right. I wonder, in becoming a Christian, all of them are important. But what does it mean to really repent? And then in living the Christian life, are there times when we need to repent? I still view it, heaven says, Harry fell on his face again. Wonder if he's going to get up. And I wonder if he needs to repent. Will he do that when he gets up? I've already shared with you. When Jesus comes, I want to hear him say, "Well done," rather than "Get lost right now." And he could do that, couldn't he? He's already come as our Savior. But when he comes again, will he be our Savior or will he be our judge? Now, I've already shared with you, my favorite part of 2 Corinthians, or at least what I remember, would be chapters 8 and 9, giving. Chapter 8, I thought about the word example. Chapter 9, of course, giving. And it dawned on me, do you realize what we do on Sunday morning? A lot of it goes back to either 1st or 2nd Corinthians. Lord's Supper, 1 Corinthians 11. Giving, 1 Corinthians 16. And then I wasn't surprised that if Paul is taking a contribution among the Gentiles for the Jews back in Jerusalem, he will have something to say about giving, won't he? So, 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9. My experience is we put more emphasis on 9 than 8, but I would say we need to emphasize both. Now, what we've recently studied. Chapter 10, authority. Chapter 11, none of us have suffered anywhere near what Paul did. Chapter 12, we don't like that word, but weak. Wasn't it even in our chapter for today? I'm weak, you're strong. Did he want them, as the world would even say, they were weak? Or did he want them to be strong? So, and then I've already shared for our chapter today, test. The tests I took in Detroit, Michigan are nothing. And I still remember if we passed the comprehensive test, we didn't have to take the final test. I like to pass the comprehensive. No, I'll have to admit, in some courses, I had to take the final. And I've already shared with Edmund for a young German Jewish girl. I wouldn't have done as well in algebra and geometry as I did, but... And I still remember, you know, most of us were still a little lighter skinned. Now, all of our neighbors were going to be in that category. They had a picture, hey, we don't want a German Jew in our neighborhood. Well, they didn't stop it because they bought the land. They built a house. They were some of the nicest neighbors we've ever had. We didn't agree on everything. But so she was a whiz with algebra and geometry. My wife is too. Particularly, do you realize my wife has even tutored algebra? Now I have to say our daughter probably took after me more than the wife. So but anyway. We need to be careful. Oh, we didn't agree. We could still respect one another, couldn't we? Amen. We could still treat one another right. Amen. What I remember, they had to hide in the cemetery from the Nazis. We don't have to do that yet in our country, do we? Go to the cemetery to hide from the higher power. So my thought was, they just got out of Germany with the clothes they had on. We still remember the Jews in Germany were rather well off, weren't they? I still wonder, and then I'll stop and share some more with you. Did all in Germany like what Hitler and the Nazis did? Did everyone in Japan like what the emperor and the war machine were doing? And I'll confess, I have some German blood. More English than German. But we were on the side of Great Britain, weren't we? And the Allies. And everyone knew, hey, we didn't like what was happening in Germany. And I find it interesting, a lot of Americans in the 30s, hey, we don't want to be involved in Europe. They want to fight among themselves? Let them do it. We sure got involved in Europe, though, didn't we? And we got not only involved in Europe, but the Pacific as well. I grew up, if you were a German or a Japanese, you're my enemy. Isn't that right for World War II? Now, I'll let you decide. Are they our enemy, or would we put them in the ally category? Okay. Now here's what I thought about God and then what it would mean for me in the sunset of life. Chapter 1, God cares. Because I knew when we got chapter 13, it was going to be God loves. So why does he care? Because he loves. Chapter 2, God forgives. Can we put a price tag on the forgiveness of God? Chapter 3, I remember the key word was covenant. God reveals. Didn't he reveal what he wanted for the Hebrews, the Israelites, the Jews, the Old Testament, Moses and the prophets? And has he revealed, okay, you're a follower of my son, now here's what I want. So, chapter 4, God sees everything. Chapter 5, remember, we want to be reconciled. God accepts, doesn't he? If we respond to his initiative in Christ, as given by the Spirit and the Word, how's God going to respond? So, God accepts. Now, and thank you for the raging discussion we had when we got to chapter 6, be unequally yoked. Now, I grew up, we just talked about it and applied it to marriage. Well, that's not even in the context. It's in the context you're going to be different, separate, holy. So, thanks again, though, for all of those comments. That was number one, wasn't it? Okay, I heard it. Again, that's going to be our authority. Finally, then, we got chapter 7. Instead of repentance, I like God comforts. How did God comfort Paul? How could Paul comfort them in Corinth? And my reading is, if the church in Sanford survives and is growing, it's going to be a comforting church. Now, didn't we study that back in chapter 1? But I like for chapter 7. It's going to be a repenting church, but also a church that can comfort. Now, come to for chapter 8, God gives. Didn't he give his son? Chapter 9, God blesses. I still believe what the late Marshall Keble said, that God's shovel is far bigger than ours. So, would that be part of blessing us? Thinking about authority in chapter 10, God commends. Isn't that how the chapter closed? Don't we want the commendation of God? Chapter 11, God desires. Oh, I'd be the first to agree. He didn't desire all of that suffering that Paul went through, but he did desire that Paul would remember him and Jesus and the Spirit and the authority that was his. And chapter 12, God humbles. He can do that, can he? And then for our last chapter, God loves. All I will say is, didn't Jesus somewhere say, if you love me, what will you do? You'll keep my commandments. So all I want to say is, hey, you say we need to love God and treat one another right. I agree. But what does it mean to really love Jesus? What about all his commands? What do you think about that? If you like them, oh, I'll do it. Don't? I won't. I'll protest against it. You remember, Bethel? I don't care what's in the Bible. I'm just going to do what I want. Is that the love Jesus was talking about? So, okay. Well, that's a nice list you could come up with. What does it mean? All right, here's, I think I'll have time. Chapter 1, watch my speech. Even how I use the words yes and no. Wow, that's the very beginning of the letter. Watch that little member. Be concerned about how you... Chapter 2, situations. Remember we talked about the door, your situations, your opportunities. Chapter 3, if God has revealed the testaments, what's your attitude about the old and new? I liked in chapter 4 the emphasis on your heart. Hasn't God always emphasized the heart? Chapter 5, if I'm reconciled to God, that'd be my relationship with God, wouldn't it? And then going back to chapter 6, I finally came up, hey, I'm to live for Jesus. I'm to be holy. In thought, word, and deed. Or at least working on it. Chapter 7. Joy. If you can repent and forgive, it's going to bring joy.
Amen.
Chapter 8. What about my giving? Chapter 9. What about the blessings I just take for granted? And remember when we came to chapter 10, my thought was, I need to watch my letters. Probably I need to watch my bulletin. What I say or write about you. Particularly if it's not complimentary. So, boy, that's a challenge, isn't it? Number 11, reactions. Remember that was the Sunday... Our electricity went off. How did I react to that? I was ready to shave. I haven't reached the point yet of wearing. Well, I did when I went to Panama, but I had a white beard. It came off. My wife saw me. We got to chapter 12. Wasn't Paul boasting? Bragging? So, are making plans, so do I need to watch that? And then I would say for our chapter today, and I heard that was number two, prayer. Do I need to be concerned about my private and public prayers? Now, I'm still working on it. Our prayers need to sound more like Paul. And you might think, oh, the Church of Christ has a prayer book. So think about that. Should our prayers maybe sound more like the prayers of Paul? And I still find it, I believe in the Sermon on the Mount, that's a model prayer. Not a prayer to be memorized and said and so forth. If I'm in an assembly, I may not join in saying the Lord's Prayer, because conscientiously, I can't do that. Probably most, well, it's just a prayer they've memorized and you say, but I can't join it. So, even though I have changed, you know, thy kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, I'm for the kingdom did come, or the church did come. Did the rule or control reign of God come? So. Are there some still in Belize, India, that need to submit to the rule or reign of God? Or anywhere in the world? Good to have had you today, and thanks. That's all I can say.